You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we get into the sermon today, it's based on Acts chapter 1, picking up in verse 12. And as we think about it, we see a journey that the apostles of Jesus were taking. Before we get to that journey, think about the amazing journey of the Son of God. He went from heaven to earth, from his sinless living to his sacrificial dying, and from his third day resurrection to his 40th day ascension. So his followers back then and we today are also on a journey of sorts. Thinking about the apostles back then, they marveled at Jesus' teaching. They were in awe of his miracles. They were filled with sadness in connection with his death. They were bursting with joy at his resurrection, and they received their instructions from Jesus to proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all in the name of Jesus. Thinking about the situation back then, Jesus knew their hearts. He gave them an assignment, and he blessed their work. What about us? Are we also on a journey of sorts? We are. Our journey went from being baptized into Christ to growing up in God's Word, from faithfully receiving Word and Sacrament to living for Christ, and from shining the light of Christ in our lives to finally being with Christ forever and ever. Today, we focus on part of the journey of Jesus' disciples shortly after Jesus was taken up into heaven. In other words, shortly after he ascended. As we come to our text today, I want to make note right up front here that we have three different gatherings taking place. The first gathering includes just the 11 apostles. The second gathering would be the apostles, some women, and the brothers of Jesus. And then the third gathering is a group of men, and God is working with those men in order to identify the replacement for Judas. As we come now to our text in Acts chapter 1, we pick up in verse 12. Then the remaining 11 apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. What does that mean, a Sabbath day journey? Well, that was a distance of 1,000 double steps. In other words, one step with the right foot, one step with the left foot. That would be a single double step. And if you take 1,000 of them, that's about two-thirds of a mile. That's all the further they were allowed to walk on the Sabbath. And then the Bible goes on and says, when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Now, we cannot know this with certainty, but it did refer here to the upper room, and it's possible that maybe the same upper room would have been used, for example, when Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples shortly before he went to the cross. Also, when Jesus appeared to his disciples on the day that he rose from the dead, and then also here, maybe staying in that same upper room as they were waiting in Jerusalem to be powered by the Holy Spirit. Going further now, we come to a section here where we have people and things between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost. Prior to what I've said, we looked at the first group, that was the 11. Now we come to group number 2 right here. The Bible says all these, in other words, the 11 apostles, with one accord, that means with one mind, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Just before Jesus was taken up, he told the apostles to wait in Jerusalem, and as they were waiting, what were they doing? They were praying. Also, based on what I just read here, along with the apostles, there were various believing women, and those believing women included the very mother of Jesus. And on a side note here, I think this is the last time in the Bible that Mary is mentioned. So she fades into the background. The focus is on Jesus. Also in this group here, we have Jesus' own half-brothers. So same mother, different father. This is one of those places in the Bible where it makes it very clear that the word brothers is not talking about fellow believers, but it's actually talking about brothers of his. So what's the situation with the brothers? At one point, they did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And it makes some sense, doesn't it? Can you imagine growing up with Jesus, and then at some point he says, "Hey, I'm the Son of God. I'm the promised Messiah." They would probably think, "You're crazy. That can't be true." But yet, though, it seems that most likely they saw him die on the cross. And then they saw him risen from the dead, and God used that in order to impress upon them that, yes, in fact, their very half-brother, he is the Messiah, he is the promised Savior. Going further in our text now, we come to a need for a replacement for Judas. Going to verse 15 of the text, it says, now as I come to this, we're coming now to the third group, the third meeting, if you will. The Bible says, in those days, between the ascension and the pouring out of the Spirit, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. He was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry." Now, I want to go back to the beginning of what I just read there. In the ESV Bible, it says, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled." So Peter stood up and he addressed these people as brothers. Now, there's actually a word that is left out if we look in the Greek text. In the Greek text, it has the wording Andrus Adelphoi. Andrus Adelphoi. Andrus is translated men, Adelphoi is translated brothers. In other words, what he said to them, he said, "Men, brothers." What does that mean? What I'm trying to say here is that this particular gathering of people, this was all men, it did not include women. Lenski made this comment, "Brothers may include sisters, but Andrus, which is the Greek word used here in verse 15, could not include women, just as to this day the address men omits women." The point being, this group was men. This particular group did not also include women. And then another point to be made here is that the Bible prophesied that someone would betray Jesus. Now, God being God, God certainly knew that it would be Judas. But the point I want to make here is that God did not cause Judas to be the betrayer. Now, the Bible has two realities about God. In some cases, God does predestined things. And when he has done that, he did that prior to creation. And when he predestines something, that becomes a cause before time of what happens then in time. That's not what we're talking about here. Here, we're talking about God's divine foreknowledge, That means that God knows all things that will happen, even though from our perspective, they haven't yet happened. Why is that? Because God is not bound by time. God is above time. God knows all things. So God knew that Judas would do it, but he did not cause Judas to do it. And then Peter continued to explain here, going further in the text, talking about Judas. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. Now, when it says falling headlong, you can translate that a little bit different too from the Greek, and you can say that he was swollen. So some people would say when Judas hanged himself, he hung there for a while, the rope finally broke, he fell down a steep cliff, and he burst open from the fall. Other people would say he was hanging there for quite a while, and his body swelled and swelled and swelled until finally it burst open. Either way, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And then the Bible goes on and says, it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem about this particular incident, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. So what are we talking about here? Did Judas actually buy a field with the money? Well, he didn't. You know the story. Judas offered to betray Jesus. He received the money. And then after he betrayed him, he felt bad about it, and he gave the money back. But the leaders of the temple, they could not put the money into the treasury. That was blood money. So they used the money, and they bought a field. Now, when we think about it here, it says that the field is a field of blood. Some people might say, oh, that's where Judas shed his blood, so let's call it field of blood. We don't believe it was even the same field. In other words, Judas died in one place, and then they used the money to buy a field in another place. So when it says field of blood, that's not talking about the blood of Judas, that's talking about the blood of Jesus. In other words, that money that was used to buy the field, that was blood money. That was money that was given in order to betray Jesus to death. And then going on in our text, Peter continues to explain. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. Based on those Old Testament passages, the apostles and the others sought a replacement for Judas. And then we come to the replacement qualifications. Peter said, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when Jesus was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, so a little confusing there, one man with three names, and also the other one he put forward was Matthias. So the candidates that would qualify here, first of all, they had to be with Jesus during his whole ministry, and second, they had to be an eyewitness to the resurrected Christ, to have actually seen Jesus alive. When they considered all the different possibilities, only two men emerged, Joseph and Matthias. And then they went through the process of figuring out which one of the two. So the Bible says they prayed and said. So I believe in this situation here, they are talking to Jesus. Keep in mind, Jesus chose each of the 12, so now it is Jesus who will choose the replacement. So they're praying to Jesus. They prayed, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Jesus had already made the choice. Now, as they went through this process of casting lots, they're asking Jesus to make known to them which one he had chosen. How did Jesus do that? Well, he looked into their hearts. So he's the knower of all hearts. So he looked into the heart of Joseph. He looked into the heart of Matthias, and he said, Matthias is the one. So through the casting of lots, that was made known. What about for you and me? Can Jesus also look into our hearts? Does he know our hearts? In fact, he does. Because he knows, he wants us to have hearts that are right, hearts that are sorry for our sins, hearts that are trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, hearts that want to honor our great God in all our ways. On a side note here, it said that Judas went to his own place. Let's understand that Judas, of his own choosing, not forced by God at all, but of his own choosing, he went to his own place. And what place is that? That is the place of eternal punishment. What is our challenge for today? Our challenge is this: realizing that God knows our hearts, let us seek from him how he is calling us to change so that our hearts are pleasing to him. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the knower of all hearts. Therefore, we pray that you would work in us for our good and also for God's glory. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.